Board of Supervisors will reconvene, and we are at, together, we're going to go back up to 7G. County Council's going to report out of closed session. Here
yes.
We go.
The board went into closed session at 12:38 p.m. and came out of closed session at 1:12 p.m. with no reportable action.
Thank you. Okay.
Bill Carroll, Assistant County Counsel. I'll talk to item 7G, which is a proposed first reading of an ordinance to repeal our name procedures. I wasn't here when this ordinance was adopted, but it was probably adopted pursuant to 53069.4 of the government code, which gives local entities a lot of leeway on how they enforce their code enforcement programs and collection methods. Since that ordinance was originally enacted, a federal case has come along that has stated that collective administration fines by liens is out of bounds because California legislature tried twice to explicitly authorize that method, and the governor vetoed that method at a time when our ordinance was just coming into effect. And so therefore, at this time, it does not look as clearly defensible to have a lien collection method that is authorized by our county code currently to be supportable. So our office is recommending that due to federal case law and the governor's veto of legislation that would have allowed such a lien process, that we amend our ordinances to delete the lien process for collecting fines from our county code.
And you said that was to delete that part of it?
I should say amend. Well, it's essentially deleting the language. It's amending the ordinance, but
okay.
Deleting a subsection of the ordinance.
Thank you.
Ordinance.
And this is the one that I've requested a summary that you sent to me last week.
Yes.
It's just because it's an extra large number of pages.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Questions from the board?
I think you mentioned it, but legal precedent in the state? So I thought you said there was a federal precedent. Is there a state precedent?
There is, and there is federal precedent. Mackinac versus City, yes. It starts with a J. It's in our agenda worksheet. Mackinac versus City of San Jacinto.
San Jacinto.
Yes, and the court found for another local entity, similar process was not authorized by state statute. And when I refer to the state process, I'm referring to the fact that the state legislature tried twice a few years ago to authorize local agencies to do exactly what we're doing explicitly. Many agencies thought we were given implied authorization to do that already when we were given the power of the code enforcement coordinators. But the state legislature tried to twice specifically enact a law to allow liens for unpaid administrative fines, got to the governor's desk, and the governor vetoed it twice. And so given this sum total legal picture in regards to liens and administrative fines, we're recommending that until such time as there is a law allowing it, that we simply repeal that part of the ordinance allowing for it, and otherwise it may create confusion.
I understand that. I'm just trying to get it on the record. But there's, you're not aware of any proceeding that's gone through the state court system?
Not directly. It's just been in the federal courts. And there's mixed opinions out there. But anyways, I won't restate the reason.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
No, it just seems like we're updating to state law the practice.
Does this apply to state agencies as well?
Well, no, it applies to
that's what I figured.
To cities and counties.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Okay. Looking for action from the board?
So moved.
I have a motion.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Yes, sir.
And again, I have time to do this for the December 5th meeting, but we have another public hearing already scheduled, so it's up to the board if you want to do that for
sure.
The 5th, 12-5. And do we have a second?
Yes. I think there's a second. Kristen,
sure.
Over.
Oh, thank you. I
didn't go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard it.
That works.
I was still listening to direction.
Alrighty. Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valsworth. Or Cobbsa.
No.
Sorry. Did you say no?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item H, County Council.
Thanks. Thank you again. William Carroll, Assistant County Council. This is also another amendment to our administrative fine ordinance. This one in direct response to some state law that's about to become effective January 1st. I think the most important part of the law and that we're amending our ordinance in response to is the fact that we only may fine up to $10,000 per day to a property owner where we haven't noticed them of the violation before and given them a chance to abate. The situation does come up fairly frequently in our code enforcement. It happens when they go out with sheriff abatement warrants, which are done without, or search warrants, I should say, which are done without any notice to the property owner. We frequently do impose in excess of $10,000 in fines when we go out there. By state law, that will be effective January 1st. We'll no longer be able to do that. We'll be limited to $10,000 only. However, that's not to say, whatever ray of sunshine might come out of this, that if we do give a property owner notice and things are not abated, we're not under this $10,000 per day restriction. That's probably the main point that's coming out of this amended ordinance. For the same reason, though, as I just stated with the other ordinance, we'll be updating our ordinance to match current law and removing the lien process for fines out of the ordinance. So that's generally a summary of the proposed ordinance here.
Okay, questions from the board?
Well, once again, this is a new law passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, and counties are applying the state law.
Effective January 1st.
Right. Action by anyone?
So moved.
Okay. Any motions?
So far. Yeah, he's up for something like this.
Well, I'm trying to remember which one I was looking at.
This is the fines. So can I ask a question?
Sure.
While we're deliberating here, would the new law automatically supersede us?
Yes, because we'd be in conflict. Our local law would be in conflict with state law,
and we'd have to turn around and just do this in January.
Yes.
Second.
I have a second.
So,
motion.
Go ahead.
Accept questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Discussion.
Discussion. Question. Does the permitting office review that before issuing licenses or permits any possible fines or other problems with a piece of property before they issue a permit?
I believe generally they do, but Mr. Dean, I don't know if you want to speak to that about reviewing permit applications and outstanding code enforcement violations and fines.
Currently, I don't recall the exact section, but we have an actual code case in process. we're not to give another additional.
It says so right here in the fine print. So that's kind of where I'm headed. Are we looking for outstanding fines and anything that's held on the property before we issue permits, so we're not handing out permits?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
In regard to this item, if I may, I don't know exactly when this is going to come forth, but if it comes into effect January 1st, at least that will give us that time to continue on the methodology until then.
So just to make sure I have, Supervisor Chris made the motion, Supervisor Kobzeff seconded.
No, how?
How? Thank you. And then are we going to the 5th as well, December 5th?
Yes.
All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kobzeff?
No. Item 7I, County Clerk. The moment we've been waiting for. One of your items.
One of mine. Yes, this is asking for the board to consider setting a time and a date for a personnel hearing regarding an appeal of termination filed on behalf of a sheriff's office employee. I did hear from, received an email correspondence from the appellant's counsel or representative, and they've requested a full day, and they're asking for something, either one of the two dates that we have in February. I wrote those down, February 6th or February 20th. And I know in the past we've typically done personnel hearings later in the afternoon, maybe half day.
Yeah, but if they're calling for a full day,
they're asking
for a full. So we're going to have to schedule a different day.
And I know it sounds like after the first of the year we're going to have Klamath Dam meetings again. So that's going to take up maybe another meeting in February. So
what about the 13th?
That should be a Tuesday?
Correct.
And I don't know if Dallas really attends, but did I go to legislative days or the 13th?
He probably will.
I don't know if you need all five of us or four of us.
We have some time, so if you'd prefer to keep it till the 5th and have Mr. Valenzuela here as well.
Well, let's try to get it in. Let's get it in motion. So we're looking at February. And it doesn't have to be a Tuesday. This room's open to us anytime, correct?
except for Planning Commission, they're kind of there Wednesday.
What day are
typically.
They?
Wednesday.
Third Wednesday.
Third Wednesday.
Third Wednesday.
So what about the 5th or the 12th? Those are Mondays.
Let's see why a Monday wouldn't work. I can't remember. I don't think we have any others on Mondays. I would then pass that information along to the appellant.
Go ahead, Mr. Carroll, whatever. Let me hear it. So
actually, it may just be more an issue for our office scheduling. I was going to say that's when I do the Child Protective Service calendar with the court.
Okay. All right. So what about
the 7th or the 14th?
The 14th is Valentine's Day. I don't know if that matters.
So how about let's do the 7th?
7th?
That's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Planning is third Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
So we're safe on the 7th. Yeah. So we're looking at the 7th?
Correct.
All board members got it in. We're good. No conflict. Okay.
Technically, that would be a special meeting on February 7th.
Mm-hmm. And at what 24. Time? 8:30?
9.
I'd say 9 would probably be the best.
Okay. 9.
And for a full day?
Just let the chairman know when he comes back. I tried for an earlier time. o'clock on February 7th. And you need a motion to that effect.
Correct.
So moved. So in a second.
And I will pass this information along to the appellants. If for some reason they have an issue with the date, I will bring it back.
Okay.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye. All right. Let's stay in the county clerk mode and go to 9A.
Okay, this was continued from the last board meeting. This is for an unscheduled vacancy on the May 10th Fire Protection District. Due to Richard Solis's resignation, this is an appointment that would fill a vacancy for a term ending August 15th of 2026. And the board, or the clerk, did receive and was verified that applicant was Monty Whipple, and that he does qualify to serve on that board, and the members of the board are also in support of his appointment.
Move to appoint Monty.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copson?
Aye. Item 9B.
9B, this is a also an unscheduled vacancy. This is for the PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging Advisory Board. What it is, the way they're set up, they have a four-year term effective the date of appointment. This is due to a resignation. Clerk's office, we did our posting as we normally do. I did get information and a request for appointment from Michelle, I believe last name is Harris. Let me just double check. Michelle Harris, and I did get in contact with a few of the advisory council members as well as executive board members that are in support of her appointment.
I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Oakley.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Chris.
All right. Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cox?
Aye. Item 9C.
This one is also continued from last board meeting. We have a few of these appointments in lieu of election to go through. Ask the first one here, Grenada Fire Protection District short term. It's a vacant position at the moment. Do we have any letter? We didn't receive any letters of interest. Do you have anybody interested in filling that? So, Grenada Fire. Also, Hornbrook Fire Protection District. We have one remaining full term position. It was continued from last week. We heard any from anybody else?
No.
And this would be for Hornbrook Fire. Scott Valley Fire Protection District, we did make one appointment last week. And in the meantime, I've heard that Scott Frick was not interested in continuing, but we did receive yesterday information that Jennifer Frick is interested and eligible. So that would be for to fill one of the two remaining full-term positions.
I'll move to appoint.
Second.
And that's for Jennifer. Correct?
Yes.
All right. excuse me, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copson?
Aye.
All right. And then there's one remaining incumbent that we have not heard from, but at this point we can't continue it any further.
Yeah.
And that was a Mr. Lindholm.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is Callahan Water District. They do have full-term positions available. Incumbents Cheryl Hayden and Brenda Herleman. Last week we had not heard from either of them. And then also there was one short term that was vacant that nobody for that one either?
No.
Okay. So it looks like it's just the one for Ms. Frick, and we'll get that processed. After this, it'll be up to the districts, I believe, to deal with any, if any of them fall below a quorum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That might get their attention.
It might, yeah. We'll see.
Okay. We're going on to public hearings, item 10A. So this is the opening of the hearing for what we call this adoption of the final 2023-2031 housing element. Is that correct?
Correct.
And there's no spelling errors. Yes.
That's a must.
Go.
Good afternoon, Haley Lane, Planning Director. I'm just going to briefly introduce this item. This is obviously a public hearing to potentially adopt our final housing element for the years 2023-2031. This is included in the sixth cycle housing element update statewide. And so I'm going to pass the presentation on to James Coles. He is from Housing Tools, and his group helped us prepare the final housing element.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, supervisors. James Coles with Housing Tools. We've been working on this housing element for the last few years with community development. And today we will be bringing forward the version for adoption, and I'll provide a brief overview of the document and changes since you last reviewed it in December of last year. Next slide. So this is the outline. We'll go over the recommended actions. We'll do a brief overview of the housing element. We'll go over legislative changes that have impacted the housing element. Timeline since November of last year, changes in community input, and primary topic areas with changes since November of last year, and the benefits of housing element adoption. The recommended actions are to hold a public hearing on version 3 draft of the 2023 housing element, consider public comment, and adopt a resolution determining that the housing element is exempt from CEQA, and adopting version 3 of the housing element, which would authorize its submittal to HCD for final certification. Brief overview on the purpose. Housing element establishes the county's priorities for housing its citizens in 8-year cycles, sets goals for the allocation of funding, program coordination, and zoning efforts to support the production of housing, and it's one of the mandated elements of the county's general plan.
Is the version we're looking at version 3 currently?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
This slide shows the planning periods for the housing elements. The expiring housing element, which is the previous that was in effect, was for the period of 2014 to 2022. And then this current housing element that's before you covers the planning period of 2023 to 2031, which is otherwise known as the sixth cycle period. The state has oversight of the housing element and reviews it for compliance with state housing element law, and that is conducted by the Department of Housing and Community Development. And HCD approval provides access to state funding. Since 2014, there have been numerous laws, housing element laws, that have passed, which has required us to incorporate those requirements into this cycle of the housing element. This shows the mandated topics that are required to be addressed through the housing element. And so those are all covered in the document. Just highlighting some of the major legislative changes that have impacted this update of the housing element. One is around accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, or junior accessory dwelling units, which are JADUs. And these laws basically limit local agencies' ability to restrict the development of ADUs in a variety of ways, and provides for ministerial and streamlined approval for ADUs. Also, AB 671 requires that the housing element include a program to incentivize and promote the creation of ADUs that can offer affordable rents to very low, low, or moderate income households. Next slide. There is a new affirmatively furthering fair housing requirement, which constitutes a major portion of the document. This assessment must address five fair housing issues: fair housing enforcement and outreach, segregation and integration, racially and ethnically concentrated areas of poverty, disparities in access to opportunity, disproportionate housing needs, and displacement risk. Also, the adequate sites inventory, or the site to address the housing need, the regional housing need allocation, must also be reviewed under a fair housing lens. The adequate sites inventory is the identification of sites that will address the regional housing needs allocation. For this cycle, the RENA, as it's known, the RHNA, consisted of one very low-income unit and one low-income unit. So one site was identified to meet that need. It's a two-acre site that allows residential development. The no net loss requirement means that if that site were not developed residential or at less than two units as required, then another site would need to be found. And so this no net loss evaluation occurs annually just to make sure that there's adequate sites to address that RENA need. This shows the timeline since November of last year. The board reviewed a draft in December 2022. We then submitted in December to HCD for their review. We received a letter back in March 2023 with required changes. We then submitted another version, version 2, which was also reviewed by HCD, and we received a letter back with a smaller list of required changes in August this year. We did a revised draft, version 2, that was reviewed in September 2023, and then also we received a letter in early October with a list of required changes. Finally, on October 16th of this year, we received a letter from HCD stating that the current version 3 that's before you for review and adoption today does substantially meet the housing element state law requirements and could be approved without any further changes and be certified by HCD. So over the last year, all the changes made were required by HCD. In addition, per AB 215, each revised draft was posted on the Housing Element website. An email sent out to all subscribers, and comments were received for a 7-day period. And those public comments are summarized. I think there was just a couple in pages 10 and 11 of the document. Finally, here we'll go over the areas with changes to the draft over the last year in response to HCD review. First, regarding affirmatively furthering fair housing, we are required to describe fair housing enforcement and outreach capacity, further analyze racial ethnic areas of concentration of poverty, further analyze disproportionate housing needs for persons experiencing homelessness, and adjust goals, actions, metrics, and milestones based on findings. Analysis can be found on pages 66, 70, 102, and 103 of the document, and time frame revisions were made to the programs that are under Goal 6. With regard to zoning for emergency shelters, per state law, we are required to identify a zoning district that allows residential uses where the county will allow emergency shelters by right. And that is found in new program 1.4.12. which is the CC zoning district. We were required to analyze the suitability and capacity for this zone to meet the need for emergency shelters and add our modified programs based on the findings. So that analysis is found in pages 220 to 221 and new program 1.4.12. And then analysis of government constraints. We were required to further analyze permit processing and assess impacts on housing costs, supply timing, and approval certainty. We are required to analyze the length of time between receiving plan and permit approval and submitting of a building permit application and add or modify programs based on findings. So the additional analysis is found on pages 226 to 227 and 230 to 231 of the document. With regard to housing for persons with disabilities, we were required to analyze constraints on group homes for seven or more persons and assess the definition of family utilized in the county code as a potential constraint on group homes. We found that the current definition of family does comply, but the state still required us to put in some language to continue to monitor that to ensure that that would not be a constraint on group homes for persons with disabilities in the future. And so you can find the analysis on pages 222 to 223 of the document, and also new program 1.4.11, which allows group homes for seven or more persons by right in the zoning districts that allow residential. So what happens if this version isn't adopted or as presented or further changes are requested? This would place the document back in HCD review, which would also require the 7-day public comment periods after each version is complete. And depending on the nature of changes, it could place certification at risk indefinitely. It jeopardizes county's access to state grant funds. One of those funding programs is called the Permanent Local Housing Allocation, or PLHA, and that is an annual allocation to counties and cities that is not competitive. So it's an entitlement grant, and it's quite flexible in how it's used to meet local housing needs, whether for home ownership or rehab or operating subsidies or a variety of ways. And it would delay start of work on the housing element actions. If the housing element is adopted and certified by HCD, then the county could begin its work on the programs that are laid out in the document that have achievement milestones through 2030. And would also include annual evaluations of no net loss, as was described earlier. That is the end of my presentation. We'll open up to the public hearing and questions.
Presentation of correspondence.
Received none at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Nothing online? Nothing in-house? Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Nothing online? Nothing in-house? Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anything online? Nothing online. Anything in-house? Nothing in-house. Public comment?
None online.
None in-house. There will be no rebuttal by proponents or opponents, since there wasn't any in the first version of this. So we're closing this hearing.
It's a resolution.
Okay. So. Bring it back to the board for discussion. If there's no discussion, I'm looking for a motion and a second.
Motion.
So move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. And this is, I know it says final, but version 3, right?
Yes, okay. Correct.
And it's the recommended motion to adopt the resolution, which is adopting the final.
Correct.
As an element.
Okay. I have a motion. I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Hupp?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's a PowerPoint. It's not in the packet.
Oh, I forgot to.
Yeah.
I
need that.
Sorry.
Thank you. All right. Are we ready to move on to the next one? Public hearing for community development. This is a public hearing for discussion, direction, possible action, re-presentation of vacation rental analysis report.
And I'll be recusing myself this week.
Okay.
This is worse.
Okay. Supervisor Chris. Right. You have that, Wendy?
I do.
Okay.
All right, Haley Lane, Planning Director. So at the board level, we've been discussing vacation rentals. I think I brought this forward in February. So we've had a lot of discussion, right, on vacation rentals, the issues, the constraints, how we want to modify our existing vacation rental zoning ordinance. So before you all this afternoon is a first stab at a draft zoning ordinance. And so I wanted to highlight, you know, the process. And so what I've heard from the board, which was important, was we wanted to do away with conditional use permits, right, in relation to operating a vacation rental. So that means creating a process where it's an over-the-counter permit, it's ministerial, you don't have to go to the Planning Commission and pay those land use entitlement fees to operate your vacation rental, right? What I also heard from the board is it's still really important to include the public process with this, right, because this has a lot to do with neighborhood quality and character, and that's something that's very, very important in our residential neighborhoods. So we have created somewhat of a hybrid process, which some other counties operate in this way for vacation rentals, so it is something that's been done before. And so, this first layer is someone's going to come to the counter and apply for an over-the-counter vacation rental permit should they meet all of the requirements we've discussed, right? Depending on what part of the county you're in, for example, right, South County, it still have to be a 2.5 acre minimum and things like that. But if the applicant shows they meet all of the standards identified in the zoning code, building code standards, meaning 4290, 4291, things like that, that are already things we evaluate, then we send out noticing the 300-foot buffer. We don't receive any opposition letters or less than 50%. The application is approved, and that person is able to operate their vacation rental on a 3-year cycle. It's not a use permit, right, so it's non-transferable, and the cycle for those permits is every 3 years. So if you wanted to operate it in 3 more years, you'd come in, make sure you're all good to go, and then you can continue operating. If someone applied and we sent out the notice letters and we received, the 50% or more opposition letters, that's going to be elevated to a discretionary permit. So a hearing will be set at the board level. And then the board would have to make certain findings, which are included in the draft zoning ordinance. And they're very standard findings, right? You're not going to pretty much adversely affect public safety, neighborhood character, and things like that. And then it would be up to the discretion of the board either to approve or deny the vacation rental permit. So I just wanted to highlight that new process. And I'm happy to take any questions. One thing I did want to note, in going through this process, County Council, pointed out a concern that, although we have discussed this, or we did discuss this in depth also at the Planning Commission level, like 5 or 6 meetings, the way it was noticed was included in that vacation rental analysis report that we all saw early last year. And so it doesn't meet, and I don't know, Bill, if you wanted to come up and maybe add to it, but it doesn't meet certain noticing requirements.
No, that's right.
Okay.
It's nothing very complicated. In the state government code, any ordinance that's going to be an amendment to the zoning ordinance needs to go towards the planning commission for review first. And they can say yay, nay, comment, and pass the comments back on up here. But I did advise the community development department that I believe now that it's in ordinance form and not just an idea form, an actual ordinance, probably will be able to say go ahead today with this, is that it does need to go back to the planning commission for comment. Not that they have veto power or anything like that, but I do read that as a statutory requirement.
I was going to have that question as well, so before it becomes a true ordinance, it would be then noticed as a new public hearing, not this one continued and continued and continued.
Yes.
That was my thought. Okay, thank you.
Say that again. I want to make sure I'm understanding.
I'll try to say it in two sentences, because I tend to...
Just say it in two words. Is this coming back in a different hearing? Did I just hear that?
At some point, when it's considered an actual ordinance, first reading and second reading.
Right. Right now, actually, it's presented from staff as just as a draft. It's
not
even a first
reading. Gotcha. We haven't started the hearing.
Right.
Correct. But due to the fact we've talked about this for pretty much all year, I did want to show you guys the draft based on all of the direction and discussion we've had before this getting shot back down to the planning commission level. And then that's when I'll have to start, you know, the formal ordinance process.
So it goes to them first before it comes back to us as
well. Yeah. Which is a little wonky because they did provide recommendations, right, earlier this year.
So we basically start from scratch.
I don't want to think of it. So.
What do we need to do?
I think we need to... Well, we're in the hearing process, so you just gave them the staff report.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Sorry, we're out of line already.
Correspondence? No, none at the clerk's level besides what we got meetings ago.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Nothing online, nothing in-house. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence.
None online.
None online and nothing in-house. Opponents' arguments and or evidence.
Showing none online.
And nothing in-house. Public comment.
Showing none online.
And nothing in-house. So there's no rebuttal by proponents or opponents. We're going to close this hearing. Bring it back to the board for discussion. Okay. Supervisor Howe, you're in order now.
I lost sight of the meeting after the 275-page staff report on the last topic, but all I need to know is what's changed since the last 10 times I've seen this.
So, well, this is the first time you're seeing it in a draft ordinance form. The meeting previously, we kind of fleshed out the idea of the public comment and how is that going to play a part in this process, because, again, it's hybrid, right, because typically ministerial, that's not a part of the process. So we massaged out, you know, those issues related to having it be ministerial. If there's those opposition letters that are received, it's elevated to discretionary permit. The board has to make findings. If the findings are made, then it's approved. If not, it's denied.
And the reason I ask that, it doesn't look much different than what I've seen previous. I'm good.
Supervisor Hogan?
I think I'm good with this.
Is there a hearing fee if it does come up to the board or this board?
If the decision is appealed, so if the opposition letters are received, it goes to you all. I don't know how that would, you know, be assessed and worked out. That's going to be included in this whole process,
okay,
right? But if, let's say, you deny it, then there's an appeal fee always, right? And then there could be a hearing for that.
And what's 50% of?
It's the 300-foot buffer of whose notice.
That. So
it could be 20 people. It could be 2 people, right? So that's our standard noticing requirement.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get what that 50% looks like.
Because it could be one as well.
It could, yeah. So, you know, we could have the opposition percentage be higher potentially, maybe like 60-75%.
Well, I don't want to go higher because
right.
you may only have
right.
one or two, and then you're going to have two neighbors fighting over
mm-hmm.
who's going to oppose or not, and then it opens that door to somebody having to pay the bill. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's the wishes of the board? Because this will go into now the process to be coming back here as a hearing.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't believe you had a requested
no,
motion.
I, yeah, I know what
just,
I need to do. I'm going to notice it for the planning commission level.
It's
yeah.
just a direction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Now
and
it goes to the commission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got direction. Go.
Yes. Thank you.
There you go.
Do good things.
Okay. So... that's all I have. What did I forget?
My folder's empty too, so you get it all.
Well, then in that case, some of us have to get to an LTC meeting. I'm not going to go to board and staff reports unless there is something really urgent. Adjourn.